Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello, and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve, Joe, and Mike, and as usual, I'm joined with Steve Megatron. Hello.
Good day, sir.
And Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, Mr. Catchphrase. Today we will be recapping Beast Wars Season 2. As most everyone knows, the recap episodes for this show are fairly short. And it's basically, mainly I created recap episodes just to talk about the individual DVD sets and some favorite episodes, favorite character arcs, stuff like that. So, honestly, fucking Rhino. They suck when it comes to special features on Season 2 and Season 3 because 5.1 audio is not a special feature. It's a specification of the disc. And animation tests, they suck.
Okay, then.
So there's the DVD part.
Not a whole just lot going on as far as special features, huh?
No, not at all. And Steve has said this multiple times before, I think, on the show. We are hoping and praying that Shout gets Beast and re-releases them somehow. Because we all know that Hasbro has enlisted Shout Factory to a multi-year Transformers DVD deal. We just don't know what else that includes other than G1. And I believe they're releasing they're releasing some other Japanese thing through Shout Factory, I think.
Heard,
I don't know.
I heard in the grapevine they might be doing Headmasters, which if,
yeah,
if
that's what
possible,
it was.
I would love to see them get as many of the G1 voice actors that are still around to reprise whatever role they had to go through Headmasters.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about the only thing I'd want to see with that series. But yeah, I'm really hoping that Shout Factory gets the rights to Beast Wars, considering Rhino hasn't done shit with it since the late early 2000s. And I'd like to see them add actual special features and you know, possibly commentaries or just, you know, random notes or things, interviews with the voice actors. Something more than these cheap-ass character models that they've got on here that I could download anywhere on the net, which, you know, and probably better quality, too. And they include that scene from, which was excluded from, I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's a scene that's missing on, like, a Season 3 disc that...
Yeah, it was a deleted scene from Nemesis that's a special feature on the Season 3 set, but yeah, that's Season 3.
But yeah, the disc sets are just kind of lame in themselves. I mean, the packaging looks halfway decent. But
the packaging is awesome. I mean, not only the disc art. I was very surprised with the Season 2, Season 3 sets because they're only two discs each. But you have, when you open the package, you got Megatron, and it's almost like he's embossed. And then you have on disc one is Primal, and underneath his disc is Megatron, and vice versa. You have Megatron's head on disc two and Primal's head or face or torso on underneath his disc. And
I hadn't noticed that. It's like they kind of screwed up.
No, it's kind of like mismatch, but I mean, it's still cool. It's not really that they screwed up, because if you look at all the other discs
who
that
they fight, who they go against.
No, but yeah. If you put disc one on top of, here, I'll do it now. If you pop disc one on top of the where disc two is supposed to go, it kind of completes the picture. So it's like you can still see Primal's head.
Yeah.
So no, I think they screwed up. I think they put the pictures on the wrong sides.
Well, you know what? It wouldn't be the first time Rhino's done that.
Wouldn't be the first time they've screwed up either. So
yeah. Well, yeah, it was season one where they glue the
No, don't get me started on that. Don't even go there.
They couldn't have done it like they did it with the DCAU Batman series. Had it printed
yeah.
up in the box.
Yeah,
a long time later. But the booklet is nice. It comes
yeah,
with a booklet that lists all the episodes and gives
yeah.
you synopsises and the air date. And I like this. It they put some really nice artwork in there. You've got Dinobot from Code of Hero. Looking fairly epic with the silhouette, the sunset behind him. It's kind of nice.
What the hell are you talking about?
The booklet.
There's
some nice artwork inside the booklet.
Yeah, okay. One of the things I loved about Season 2 is obviously the awesome continuity going back to G1 and to the other TF continuities as well. And also, really, we had some very good storylines this season, even though it's pretty much one fluid storyline throughout the entire Beast series. I really, really enjoyed this season more than season one. And just to really quick fire off my list of favorite episodes, Aftermath, Coming of the Fusors, Part 1 and 2, and Other Visits, Part 1 and 2, Code of Hero, and The Agenda, Parts 1 through 3. The rest of them are kind of hit or miss, I think.
I would have to agree with you on those. As far as those are concerned, I like all those episodes. I would have to rank probably Coming of the Fusors as like a pretty cool, epic return episode of Primal.
Yeah.
And then Other Visits, it's the first time you actually see a permanent death.
Yep.
In the series, in the form of, I mean, and technically they aren't really dead, but as their separate selves, they are dead. as Ares or in Tigertron, they are both dead.
Yeah.
Then you get, of course, more entering the fray, and then you see Transmute 8 die, so that's 3 deaths this season. Mm-hmm. Dinobot's epic death, which is 4 this season, and then Ravages, which is 5. So, I mean, you have the most death count in this entire season. You know,
yeah.
That...
Did Bob Furman write this season? What the heck?
Bob Furman?
Bob Forward?
Bob, no.
Bob
Furman.
Furman.
The only thing Simon Furman touched was Nemesis Part 2.
Oh, Simon Furman actually did have a...
Yes, he wrote that episode.
That's interesting. Okay.
I think it more so had to do with referencing older Transformer continuity and to wrap it up.
Yeah. No, I was referring to Simon Furman and his knack for killing off Transformers.
Mm.
Bob.
Maybe they
Bob
took cues
Furman.
From him. Hasbro's like, yeah, I think we want them dead. We got new toys. Come on. What the hell's wrong with you? But yeah, there was this had the highest death count in the season. The animation models got much, much better, even for the ones that were existent in season one. They've, by the end of this season, they've gone above and beyond what they used to look like.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep.
Sound, the sound, the visuals, I mean, everything's gotten more crisp, granted it's more dark, but it's got that more serious tone that it makes it more interesting. And there's a lot
of
throwaway.
Oh yeah. I tell you what though, when we get to season three, oh my god. One of my favorite two-parter, well, I think, I don't know how many I don't remember right off the top of my head how many two-parters there are in season three, but...
Two.
Feral Scream has got to be the darkest episode as far as the colors.
Yeah, by far.
Because obviously you have to hide the fact of TM2 Cheetor being the the sneaky cat. But overall, season two, very well done. There were some moments where I just didn't care. But there isn't anything so far out of Beast Wars that I've absolutely outright hated outside of Tarantulas.
See, I've always liked him. So, I mean, I didn't like his pre-transmetal form. I always liked him after he hit transmetal.
No, I've always liked Tarantulas just because, you know, again, he's got his own agenda. He's doing his own thing. He's counterproductive to Megatron. But, you know, he's got his own lair, got his own, I don't want to say minions, but, you know, in the form of Black Arachnia and Quickstrike.
Quickstrike.
No, he's got his own thing going on. And the Spider, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got his own thing.
Yeah.
He's a good character. I like him.
You know, the thing about Tarantulas that I noticed, obviously, since it was revealed in Agenda, which we covered last week, is that if you look at him from beginning to Agenda, the first two seasons, you can see hints that he's a mole throughout the entire first two seasons. Because he's always talking about Megatron being on his own agenda, not just in the Agenda episode, but or in the Agenda three-parter, but he's always talking about Megatron having his own agenda and yada, yada, yada. So you know that there's something going on there with Tarantulas.
Yeah.
But you have to look for it, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's clear he's got his own thing going on, but you don't really know what that thing is until, mm-hmm. you know, the end of
until season. Until the Agenda.
Right.
Yeah. Michael, what are some of your favorite episodes?
You know, I like the Code of the Hero. Code of Hero.
Thank you for correcting yourself.
The Code of Hero, Code of the Hero.
No. Code of the Hero. Three words. Code of Hero.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, toward the beginning of the season, I wasn't thrilled with the transmetal bodies. Well, more to the point, I wasn't thrilled with the transmetal monkey. Just didn't like that. Fusors, you know, they're good characters. You know, Silverbolt ends up being a very strong character. He's kind of he starts off as kind of a one-note pony, you know, up until he, you know, starts romancing Black Arachnia. Quickstrike is a one-note pony.
He just wants to kick some Kaster.
He just wants to kick Kaster, and that's the same thing over and over again.
In that sense, he's probably made Waspinator basically hell of a lot more important, just because Waspinator's got... I mean, granted, he blows up all the time. Granted, you know, he has some kind of smart-ass remark for whenever he gets blown up, but he's, you know... There's something always different and entertaining with Waspinator, whereas Quickstrike, I would have loved if they would have just ended him here.
Yeah, just kill him. You know, he's kind of worthless.
Just kill him. Keep Ravage.
Yeah, I would have bought that.
That would have made things a hell of a lot more interesting. I mean, get rid of Quickstrike. We didn't need him.
Ravage was a bit of a Mary Sue here. It's like, oh, this is our own private character, and he's uber powerful, and he can kick everyone's ass. And he needed to go. He couldn't stick around because he was just too powerful. Maybe without the ship, blow up the ship, keep Ravage, and temper him down a little bit, but I still think he might have been too powerful to let live.
Hell, all you got to do is blow up the ship, make force Ravage to transform permanently into cassette mode, and put him into the offline sound wave.
That would have been bad.
It would
be like he'd wake up and he'd be like, why do I have two Ravages?
Two Ravages. What's funny is when you get into the Japanese continuity, where they actually use Beast Wars Ravage and G1 Ravage as kind of a trans-temporal, the way they describe it, it ends up being more of a paradoxical goat fuck, to be honest. No, I'm serious. When they start talking about, and again, this is with the Japanese version of the Alternators line, where you've got a car that turns into Ravage, it's the Trax mold with a Ravage head, right? And then they've got another car that's it's a Jaguar, literally a Jaguar car, that transforms into a cat. So now they've got to explain logically how Ravage, the Corvette, is related to Beast Wars Ravage, who is also related to G1 Ravage. And, you know, it's basically time-hopping Ravage, who's got his own agenda, doing his own thing, and feeding viruses through it. It's really complicated and confusing. But
that's why the Japanese continuity sucks.
It doesn't count, yeah. No, I thought they did a good job, really, tying, especially with the Alternators timeline, kind of a storyline, tying in all the timelines and all the series. And it was interesting stuff, but, yeah, to digress. I liked Bad Spark. I liked the whole idea of the Maximal hierarchy having a deep, dark secret. Yeah, I think that Rampage could end up being a character with a lot of potential, and I like the agenda.
Yeah,
you know, all yes. three of them. It was just nonstop epic.
And it still didn't finish Megatron's agenda.
Nope.
Not until the next episode.
There's more.
There's more.
Yeah, but not even in the next episode.
No, I know, but I mean...
Not even in Season 3 did it stop, and it didn't stop until Endgame in Beast Machines, really.
Well, and see, and there's a scene in Season 3, and I'll point it out when we get to that point, that Megatron kind of alludes to something, because he says something about planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it never, you know, goes back to that particular thing again.
Mm.
And which kind of alludes me to think that hey, I'm creating a virus that I'm going to screw everybody over once I get back to Cybertron, which, in my opinion, should be very soon.
Well, you know, even after Megatron is all said and done, there's still Joe Convoy. Anybody else get the Joe Convoy reference?
No, yeah, sorry. Leave Joe Con alone.
Joe Convoy.
Yeah, leave Joe Con alone.
What is
it's
your
not
name, right. good sir? My name is Joe. Joe Convoy.
Who's your daddy?
Flint Convoy.
Joe Convoy.
In your pants.
Joe Convoy. In my pants. Yeah. I don't know if Steve's seen that. There was a, I want to say BotCon 2008, they did a voice actor panel. And Vangelis was actually part of it. He did the voice for Transtech Shockwave, and he did a pretty good Shockwave. David Kaye was there, and he did a voice, and it was clearly Beast Wars Megatron because he was doing the Beast Wars Megatron voice. But it was in the Transtech universe, and they said, "So, you know, who are you?" And he's like, "My name is Joe." Joe Convoy, you know, it was just funny. And at the end, you know, he basically, you know, comes out and says, "Ha ha!" I don't think he comes out and says, "I'm Megatron," but you know, it's fairly clear that this is Beast Wars Megatron. It was called a Bee in the City. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and look up a Bee in the City. I think they split it up into three parts, but it's hilarious. It is really, really funny.
Do we have any other notes for wrapping up Season 2?
No, I think Steve covered a lot of what I was thinking as far as production values and the animation and the sound, and everything just got much, much better. I'm looking forward to it becoming that much more better in Season 3.
Much more better.
That's
correct grammar.
More better.
Who gives a shite?
Yes. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Steve put in every, not all of them, but every voice actor we've gotten clips from for this show in between this and the outro, which you will hear next.
We'll return to the Beast Unleashed podcast after this.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
Respect my authority. Boil them, mash them, stick them in the stew.
Just a bunch of fucking repaints.
Would it kill you to raise a shovel?
Metal floss.
I'd like some wine with that wine.
Coulda did what's a coulda did.
I will never buy that movie.
What is Jesus?
My pants are full.
I want some ho-hos.
I love you.
Shut up, bitch, I'm not done.
Butthole bag.
Now, back to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Overall, season 2, as we said, very awesome. Lots and lots of G1 homages and references, especially Russian Ravage, which I think G1 Ravage only talked once in tape form, and he wasn't Russian. But anyway, Lee Toker is awesome. We may have to get him for an interview as well. There's tons of them. Lee Toker, Blue Man Kuma, Alec Willows, Venus Tirzo. So yeah, thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, join the forums, protoconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Show name there is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG1Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
And Michael?
PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be reviewing the first 3 episodes of Beast Wars Season 3, those being Optimal Situation, woo, Deep Metal, and Changing of the Guard. For now, I am TFG on mic with
Michael Steve Wilson. Megatron.
And that other guy.
Okay, Michael, you go first. Come on.
With Michael Wilson.
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And the other guy. Just can't seem to get this right. I'm sorry.
Megatron, close the show.
Damn it, I told you. I go first. Yes.
That's it?
Yes, Megatron, I hear and obey.
Oops, you did it again.